same way.
So what does Latinas for Cannabis do?
So Latinas in Cannabis, it's the largest online and in-person community for Latinas who work in the industry, but also Latinas who just simply love the plant. Because at the end of the day, we love the plant, but we don't have community to make it safe for us to consume. So a lot of Latinas, a lot of Latinos as well, we're consuming behind closed doors. You know, a lot of Latinas and Latinos were like, oh, I want to buy a bong, Susie, but I can't have it out because I'm this and that, right?
So is Latinas for Cannabis more geared towards consumers or business people?
And honestly, it's both.
Back at Benzinga, day 2, Meet Unshackled. Dimitri Downing here with co-host
Max Ulas from Dope SEO. Happy Wednesday, happy Miami Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference.
And we have been here meeting fantastic. You might go on forever. So we have been meeting fantastic individuals, and we are pleased to introduce them to you, our audience out there. So it's like you're here networking with us. I don't know, Susie. I barely know Mac. I'm just kidding. I know Mac.
He kind of knows me.
So we're going to introduce you to Susie. We're going to allow her to tell us about herself, what she's doing in cannabis, who she is, just like you would if we were interacting, if you were interacting here at Benzinga.
Here's your infomercial,
Susie. Nice to meet you.
Absolutely. Great to meet you. Thank you for having
me.
Good morning.
Max, have you met Susie yet?
I just met her before at the table. I came over to introduce myself. And I was like, hey, I'm helping
you. We go way back a couple minutes ago.
Yeah. So, Susie, we got a whole backstory.
Tell us about I know you're involved with Latinos for cannabis, in cannabis.
Yes. All of it. All of the above. Basically, just out here representing for the Latino community. Latinos in cannabis, we deserve a place in this industry, and I'm really proud of being here.
Absolutely.
And you have some projects and stuff, too. So talk to us about your journey into cannabis and how you ended up in the cannabis industry.
Yeah, absolutely. I started my career in traditional PR and journalism, and I entered the industry in around 2019, you know, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, ready to do great marketing. You know what that's like, right?
As a marketer, I absolutely do. Shiny objects everywhere.
You do, you know, because I'm traditionally trained, you know, so I'm thinking, where can I be here? I know exactly what to do. And I got a very rude awakening in the industry. I got to really understand that, you know, legacy and maybe some other folks, right?
So much education.
There's a convergence there. And so it's really interesting, you know, as someone, you know, coming into the industry, but also as someone that was a former bud tender. I was a bud tender.
What state?
I was a bud tender many years ago in California. I'm from California.
You're an LA person.
I know everyone when I say from California and here, everyone's like, oh, California.
Oh, here we go. Yeah.
Arizona.
So you keep
California.
That quiet.
Yeah, well, no, I'm proud.
I'm proudly
from LA, born and raised. Yeah, I don't keep it quiet.
LA is the heart of the cannabis industry, the cannabis movement.
Well, it definitely keeps
a lot of people in
San Francisco, LA, that's where you go.
And you know, there are markets popping up everywhere, but no matter what, LA is still going to be, California is always going to be, you know,
Cali
the
weed
of
will
the
always be Cali weed. And the Cali industry is.
Absolutely.
I was just in LA for the last Benzinga, and it was pretty eye opening what Cali's dealing with compared to the rest of the country.
Yes. Yeah.
So you were a bud tender in LA.
I was a bud tender in LA many, many years ago. And what I dealt with was there wasn't enough, you know, career development. There wasn't mentorship. There wasn't a lot. And so what I dealt with was this might not be a valuable avenue for me. So I ended up, you know, following my career trajectory. I went to college, went to USC, and I started my career, you know. But I always looked at my time as a bud tender like, you know, I wish something happened with that. I wish I knew where the industry was headed there, you know. So I ended up having my traditional more career, you know, and then when I re-entered the cannabis industry is when I started to see, you know, the difference between those who really know the industry and the folks that are just coming in here looking for a quick buck.
Yep.
So you really get to see the difference. You see the stark difference, and you start thinking, you know, what is my why? Why am I here? So I think that is an early on, you know, a conversation that I had with myself, and it's a conversation I often remind myself, you know, especially when times get hard.
Yes.
Because that is when you have to ask yourself, why am I here? Because if it's for the dollar and the dollars dry up, you know, you have to continue to ask yourself those questions, you know? So
how did you end up becoming a bartender?
I want to cheer for you so hard right now. Like, I almost want to be like, fuck yeah, Susie, like a big banner in the back, because you know how many people don't come on and actually, it's all like, oh, we help and we make money. You know what I mean? Like, you actually have a purpose behind this.
which you have to have a purpose. Beautiful. At the end of the day, we can't forget the fact that the war on drugs, you know, happened, and yeah. we're still being impacted with
yeah.
it. So as a brown woman, as a person of color, we can't forget that. And if we don't have a purpose in this industry, it's going to be short lived. There's really, if you don't have a purpose, there's going to hit a moment where if you don't have your why, you need to get out and
Absolutely.
Make room for the people who do have a why.
He's a white man. His why is guilt. So
I have no guilt. I have zero guilt.
Probably it's more.
I am the least entitled white man you know.
All white people are entitled.
I own
just
it.
Kidding.
No, but here's the thing. I pass my entitlement on. I share my entitlement.
Like, you know, I don't believe that.
Yeah, whatever.
So it's all about poverty to me. But anyway, so you.
I come from the streets.
From. Well, who were you a bartender for? Like,
so I worked at back in the day, it wasn't a fully legal shop. Like I mentioned, it was way, way back in the day.
Hooray for Kelly.
I ended up,
you keep saying back in the day.
Back in the day.
I'm a little older. I'm not that old.
I'm
actually not.
But
in the back of the day is because I was maybe 18 years old, like yes. very, very young.
And you're 19 now.
No, and yeah, I made it to 21 years old, guys. And
congratulations.
I'm trying to figure out how old you are because you look so young.
Don't do that. That is so rude.
Right, you're not supposed to do that to women.
She looks like she's 19, 20
no,
years old.
No, she doesn't. She does not carry herself like an... No.
I didn't say she carried herself. Right, I said she looks like she's 19, 20
it.
Years old.
Okay.
But so when I re-entered
about back in the day.
Back
she went
in
to
the
USC.
Day.
What did
That's
you do at
true.
USC?
I studied PR and journalism.
Okay.
After USC,
yeah. what happened?
After USC, so that's when I officially entered the cannabis industry. We started working in the functional glass industry.
Functional glass, glass blowing. What is functional glass?
Glass blowing, like borosilicate glass, yeah. you know. Glass blowing, bongs, water pipes, all, you know, learning about the industry. And that's when I got another rude awakening, understanding the glass industry. It's very different than cannabis, but...
Did you ever blow glass?
I have not blown glass myself.
I was going to say, because I don't see any scars or, like, pit marks or missing appendages.
Honestly, it's... blowing glass, maybe
it's
necessarily, is not for me
form.
At this
yeah,
time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an amazing art form that I respect very much, but
yes.
I'm a clumsy person. I don't trust myself with...
Around
with
exploding glass and fire. And torches.
Not
so you
for me.
Did yeah. PR for the glass industry? Is
not no. PR in the industry, but with more of like marketing and digital PR, we call it.
Okay.
Digital PR is when you leverage social media and other aspects to get press in a different way. And it's just a new nuanced way to think about it. So I started my career with that kind of aspect in the functional glass industry, started learning more about it, and found out that so many glass blowers in Los Angeles
have
are
no
of Latino.
Idea how to market.
That part,
yeah.
but also are of Latino background.
Yes.
And
yes.
As someone who's journalism-minded, I saw that and I thought, that's a story right there. You're telling me that there are Latino glass blowers who, because of the stigma, can't even smoke themselves, but are expert glass blowers
yep.
and are dealing with an issue of mass glass importation from overseas. The smoke shop owners don't know whether
Chinese
it's...
glass, yep.
They don't know whether
yep.
it's American-made or whether it's import, so then
yep.
they put them on the same shelf.
Yep.
And then the smoke shop owners, wait, I can charge more
for locally blown.
I'm yep. just going to call this import glass locally blown. And then... So could you imagine what happens 10, 15 years of that?
Yeah.
The local glass blowers have been displaced. The local glass blowers are dealing with so much. Competing with overseas, they're always going to lose.
China
because at the end of the day,
yep.
it takes them hours to blow glass when you can import glass for sometimes pennies on the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what happens here? So when we learned that, my business partner and I looked at each other and we were like, there's something here. We started talking to more glass blowers. I'm a Spanish speaker. They're a Spanish speaker. So they let down their guard, I think, more. And that is where our glass brand, Mota Glass, was born. We decided...
You have a glass brand?
Yes.
Mota Glass.
Brand called Mota Glass.
Yes.
Whoa.
We did a... we ended up founding... Hey there. we
Tyler.
Ended up founding...
That was like a reach around from behind that caused you to spill
yeah,
your coffee.
Yeah, I know.
Massive pattern interrupt right
yeah.
now.
No, but I mean, the good thing, we can jump back in. Just
Mota
like,
Glass. Here we are.
Yes, yeah. We founded Mota Glass after we found out about this issue because what I've seen in business is the best companies are solving a problem.
Absolutely.
They're addressing something that needs to be addressed.
Absolutely.
And at the end of the day, that's the kind of businesses that I want to create, businesses with purpose and mission. And when I saw this issue, I thought this brand can represent locally blown. It can represent Latinos and cannabis in a way that hasn't been before. We launched Mota Glass in November 2020, and within a month we had press.
That's what's up.
2020, 4 years ago.
Yes,
okay.
We launched 2020, and from the beginning we just took off in terms of being the darlings in the industry because we had this mission that people really wanted to know about.
Right.
So fast forward now, our glass is available worldwide.
excellent. Do you guys go to Champs and that kind of stuff?
We don't go to Champs yet because of the issues that I was telling you about. You know, there's a lot of import glass. There's a lot of locally blown glass. But for a small business like us who are American-made solely, we really focus on you know, direct-to-consumer, making sure that people buy
like
from
that.
Us. But we are just starting.
To get into B2B?
Yes, we are just starting. We are starting to get into our new some dispensaries, some smoke shops worldwide. Mm-hmm. So we are starting to go hard. We want to bring Mota glass to the people. Good, high-quality, locally blown glass.
So here's a question. So as a small business, how... Right, because I think part of this is always like there's a story behind the story behind the story.
Right.
So what does Mota glass do for the rest of the community?
Well, aside from, you know, supporting local blown glass
and
giving
taxes. That's
yes, that part.
No, fuck.
We exist. God. No, also, the fact is that a lot of these Latino glass blowers and minority glass blowers from different areas as well, they are being displaced if we don't if we don't come out and actually invest in their products and their work.
Of course.
They will eventually die out in terms of they're going to look for some other work.
Yeah.
So what we do for the community is really become a staple for American made, locally blown.
So you're helping to put them on the map,
too. We are, but also education. Our social media account, where again we have a strong following because of people, because of our brand, they now know about the glass industry.
What's your social media account?
It's Mota_glass. Be sure to follow us. We're always doing fun giveaways and featuring our community.
Okay.
But education. A lot of in this industry, a lot of the battles we deal with is because of people not knowing the real situation with cannabis, right? Especially within the Latino community, a lot of the stigma is because of lack of education. They just don't know. So same thing happens with glass.
Mm-hmm.
There, a lot of folks are buying what I call fast glass.
Yeah.
If we know fast fashion, right?
Yeah.
There is fast glass now. So there need to be
Depeche Mode.
Yeah. Fast glass. Is that a current?
No, Depeche Mode, the name of...
Oh, there we go.
They had an album called Fast Glass.
Depeche Mode is translates into fast fashion.
Fast fashion.
Oh,
okay.
There you go, fast fashion. But, you know,
Depeche Mode fan.
Because of the growth of the industry, there's now fast glass.
Yeah.
And so in the face of fast glass, there needs to be a locally blown option.
Nice.
So we are that, but we are also educating our community on the importance of intentional buying. Intentional buying across all cannabis will save minority social equity-owned, women-owned.
Okay.
But it also bleeds into ancillary products.
Yep.
Locally blown, you got to think intentionally. When you purchase your glass, when you purchase that bong that you're smoking on every day, make sure you know who you're supporting.
Right.
With your dollars. And
right.
So that's what we're doing with Mota Glass.
So for any glass blowers out there that want help marketing their glass, that want help getting a push for their glass. And here's my question. So you're from LA, you're here now?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's just say somebody was in...
Well, I'm visiting, but I'm not from here.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm still from L.A.
You're still up in L.A.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool. So is it only L.A. glassblowers that you're working with, or is it Hispanic and Latino or Latino glassblowers everywhere else?
So we founded the company with L.A. glassblowers.
Okay.
So that's how we started.
Okay.
You know, we're still a small business. You know, we're excited to be here connecting with a lot of big players to help us take us to the next level. But we would love to explore, you know, supporting local glass blowers from other areas,
okay.
Right?
So
yeah.
You get to Latinas for cannabis?
So basically that kind of, it all coincides, right? A lot of my businesses
go.
So Latinas and Cannabis was also founded in 2020. If you
2020.
Had yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. So this kind of goes back to my journey personally in the cannabis industry. So I was a bud tender, you know, like I mentioned, 19
right.
years old around there. And because I didn't feel supported in the industry, I left. And when you look at any dispensary, especially in California, there are more Latina bud tenders than anybody else.
Yep.
Yes, a lot of women of color, but specifically I have seen so many Latinas. So you see them all as bud tenders, but when you look at the executives, they're not reflected there. So what's the disconnect? Why are we here, but we're not making it there? And then I look at my own journey, I left.
You're right.
So
you know
many,
why you left. You
how
know
many
I mean?
Latinas
so, yeah,
left
felt
as well?
The same way.
So what,
yeah.
So what does Latinas Cannabis do?
So Latinas and Cannabis, it's the largest online and in-person community for Latinas who work in the industry, but also Latinas who just simply love the plant. Because at the end of the day, we love the plant, but we don't have community to make it safe for us to consume. So a lot of Latinas, a lot of Latinos as well, we're consuming behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of Latinas and Latinos were like, oh, I want to buy a bong, Susie, but... I can't have it out because I'm gonna get this and that, right?
So is Latinas or cannabis more geared towards consumers or business people?
It honestly, it's both, and the reason why is because a lot of Latinas are entering the cannabis industry. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the people in our community maybe were consumers and then are like, you know what, I'm gonna go for it. I'm gonna enter the industry, and so it serves as an incubator because we do need more Latinas in this space. So we do things like. Seshes, so that's more for bud tenders.
Okay.
So we invite bud tenders and also just for anybody who wants to buy a ticket, it's a sesh, but it's networking. Get inspired, right? We also do a second level of the networking events, and we call them the Cana Jefa series.
The Cana Jefa series,
what it is, it's a panel, and we invite top jefas from the cannabis industry in different areas. So we had a Latina chef talk about her journey.
Right.
We had my colleague, Tabby. She is one of the top saleswomen in cannabis. We had a panel with her. You know, we had a panel called Cana Mamahood, where a few women were able to talk about their experience from being a Cana Latina
mother. So you sort of
mother.
Enjoy the cannabis plant while you're enjoying the cannabis plant, you're advancing the interests and mission of having more Latinas represented in the cannabis industry.
Yes.
Right, so are you guys based out of California?
We're based out of California because that's where I'm based of. However, that's a worldwide organization. We've done events in Puerto Rico. We've done events. We're sponsoring an event in a couple days here. And it's because so many Latinas see the mission, see the power, and they're like, we want to help in any way possible. So I am looking to grow that organization. We have started a summit series as well. We've launched a holiday. We founded National Latinas in Cannabis Day on September 30th. So when we launched that holiday, it created a whole new level for us because more press started coming out. LA Times has covered us. Bold Latina has covered us because of the holiday. And so last year, I was like, you know what? Let's turn this into a summit. Let's have our own conference.
That's dope.
So September 30th last year, we launched our summit, the National Latinas in Cannabis Summit.
That's so...
Full day event.
When is that summit?
That we're going to do it again this year, and it's likely going to be around September 30th on the national holiday.
Okay, and what's the website?
It's latinas-cannabis.com, but you can also follow us on Instagram at latinas_can.
Okay.
And so
Ooh,
many women.
So powerful.
So many
so
women
powerful.
Found us here.
No, yeah, but look, Latinas can. You know what I mean? Like
yes, Latinas can.
No,
that's the message behind
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think the simplicity of that message is beautiful by
and
itself.
You know what's beautiful? I'm here sitting here today because I want a Women Grow Scholarship for Mota Glass and Latinas in Cannabis to spread our mission.
That's what's up.
Have you met the Mary E. Juana guys in Santana?
Yes.
I dig those guys.
Shout out to Daniel Torres from Marijuana.
And I spent a lot of time in Mexico.
Yes.
Marijuana is not a derogatory term down there, and a lot of people get really confused about that.
That's an issue. That's interesting.
Yeah, what do you have to say about
that? Honestly, I do have something to say about that because I'm an activist. I'm an advocate, a proud Latina in cannabis. And so folks, I think, sometimes assume that I'm against the word marijuana, right? And I've said it in interviews, you know, that's a word that was taken from us, you know, grabbed it, and then they injected it for the war on drugs to use it against us. But it's kind of our word, you know?
I think we need to take it back. Shit.
Well, that one's probably. We need to take that back because I proudly use marijuana.
Yeah.
I think that in certain contexts, at the end of the day, you're right, because I know that there is a certain terminology people are trying to use with the word cannabis. So I respect it to a certain sense, but personally, I don't see the word marijuana problematic.
I love that you understand that because I've been doing this for 12 years now, and on the advocacy trail out there, if you start a conversation with somebody who doesn't like marijuana,
it's such a trigger word for some people.
But if you start, the only people that get triggered are the unnecessarily politically correct and woke individuals who want the world to be a perfect place.
Yeah.
You go to all the fuddy-duddies who are 60, 70, 80, 90 years old who hate cannabis, and if you say cannabis, they'll say, you're politically correct. I thought you were here to talk to me about marijuana. And they don't use the word marijuana as a derogatory word.
Right.
I'm going to say marijuana because I can pick on Mexicans. They don't say that. They don't think that.
Those
people were very few, and they're all dead. They're all gone. You know, saying so that the term is no longer a derogatory term used to attack Mexicans.
Right.
Exactly. It's not.
So it's okay to use it. And people don't get that.
Yeah, I know. It all comes down to education, right? Making sure that we're on the same page here and having the conversation so that
I think it's brilliant that you started, by the way, your own holiday.
Yes.
Back when I'm an old prosecutor. I put lobbyists for many years. Back like in 2015, 16, I was hanging out with some federal representatives who, from Oregon, who, you know, very influential on a national level. And I said, you know what we need to do? We need to introduce 420 as states' rights day, like a national states' rights day.
Oh, wow.
And like a national holiday.
Yeah.
And his chief of staff was like, that's a great idea. They ran it up the flagpole and it died, but I was really close to getting 420 introduced as like national states' rights day, like a states' rights day.
Yeah.
Because there's other days that are similar to that, but we needed a very specific national holiday that we could have done at 420, which would have helped the legalization movement. But this was back in like 2015 and 16, so it's a great idea starting your own
national day. And honestly, we did it. So it's on September 30th for a reason. So Hispanic Heritage Month kicks off September 15th.
True. Right.
So the way we did it is it's a full month long, but at the halfway point is when we should be discussing, you know, other communities within the Latino community. Are we doing enough for women? So that's the conversation that we want to have at the halfway point of Hispanic Heritage Month. Let's put the focus on women. So that's why the National Latinas and Cannabis Day ended up on September 30th.
So how can people, I think most people are going to be interested in supporting your organization and understanding what it does
Latinas
and getting behind
can.
It. How can people reach out to you? What's the best, fastest way to get in touch with you and your organization?
Yeah, for Latinas in Cannabis, if you are Latina looking to enter the industry or simply look for community, be sure to follow us on Instagram at Latinas_can, C-A-N-N.
What about a corporation looking to sponsor?
Well, contact me. I'm Susie, so be sure to catch me on the ground floor.
Here's my cell phone number.
I know. There you go. No, contact me. You can follow me on Instagram at Susie Plasencia, and also Susie Greens. That's one of my Instagrams as well. So, yeah, definitely reach out to me. We are looking for partners to take it to the next level. We are a proven concept that has sold out in hours sometimes. We do events that sell out so quickly. So I'm really looking for partners who see the magic and want to help us expand globally. So that's with Latinas in Cannabis. But for Mota Glass, if you're looking to help us with locally blown glass or looking to purchase some in your dispensaries.
Sell some product too.
Absolutely. Contact us at Mota_glass. Contact me as well directly. We do collabs. You know, people, I think, want to have their own logo on glass. Why not have it on American-made products? So be sure to hit me up.
All right. Well, we look forward to watching your journey, following your product, and especially the advancement of this organization. Meetup works with a lot of different organizations, so this is really good. We could probably do some collaboration sort of thing in that. I don't like the word collab.
Oh, I love that. Collab, it sounds a little like the kids use it, huh?
Yeah, so say hello to my friends at
Medi. Find some synergy here, guys.
Medi y Juana.
Yes, yes.
I love those guys. I took them to President Fox's ranch in 2017. And I said, brothers, don't worry about Mexico. It's going to be a mess here. And certainly it has been.
Yeah.
Go back to California and make sure everybody in Santa Ana knows Medi y Juana is the number one brand in California. And then when it gets legalized in Mexico, bring it back home. All the relatives will know that that's the best product out there.
Yeah.
Whatever products dominate in Santa Ana will one day dominate Mexico. That's just going to be a natural thing.
And then,
so we've been friends since, and they're over there in California and kicking butt. So
awesome.
We look forward to getting to know you better. And thank you for being on another
episode
of Meet Unshackled.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, our pleasure. Thank you.